Turning tonight in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. While you're turning there, I would appreciate you praying for the family of Larry Garrison. Larry was my first cousin, and he passed away very suddenly from complications from colon cancer surgery. He was 55 years old. And appreciate you praying for his wife, Linda, his son, Keith, and for my Uncle David, who is 94 years old and depended to a good degree on Larry and his family. So I appreciate your prayers for them. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this opportunity tonight to gather with your people. We thank you for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he is the provision that we need to live in this world, to be involved in the spiritual warfare that we face every day. We pray that you would help us tonight as we look into your word and help us to, again, see where we are as we think about a comparison between fear and faith tonight. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We do want to come back tonight to our studies here in 2 Timothy, and we want to think about this seventh verse, and particularly we want to think about this first statement. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. He hath not given us the spirit of fear. We want to think about fear tonight a little bit. The word fear here is an interesting word. It's the only time that we find this particular word for fear in the New Testament. It means being timid. It means lacking in courage or lacking in boldness. And in the strongest sense of the word, it means cowardice. So the kind of fear that Paul is talking to Timothy about is the fear of man. And we looked at this verse from a little different perspective a couple of weeks ago as we talked about the persecutions that were taking place during this time period. We looked at the church in Smyrna. But we want to think about this fear in a little bit different way. And think of it as the kind of fear that comes when we leave the place of faith. I'd like for you to turn back tonight to the 56th Psalm. Psalm 56. As we think about this verse in 2 Timothy. This is a very interesting psalm because it's a psalm where fear meets faith. It's a psalm about fear. And we know that it's a psalm that deals with fear because of the setting of it. Let's read just under the psalm number. To the chief musician upon Jonath, Elam, Rechakim, Mictum of David, when the Philistines took him in Gath. The background, the setting of this psalm is when the Philistines took David in Gath. Now, turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 21, if you will. 1 Samuel chapter 21. We want to think a little bit about David and fear in his life. Something of the reason for it. Because I think that we'll find that we have the same problems in this area that David had. 1 Samuel chapter 21, one of the things that is a great blessing when you look at David's life is that it's a life of extremes spiritually. That's a great comfort to me because so many times our lives as believers tend to be lives of extremes. Here in this chapter, David goes from the heights of faith to the depths of fear. We find that he goes from dependence upon God to dependence upon himself. As he flees first to Nob, and then as he ends up in Gath. As we come to this chapter, David is, of course, running from Saul. But he's also out of fellowship with the Lord. David's condition here, his relationship with the Lord, is revealed to us here in the opening verses of this chapter. The first thing that he says here is a lie. Notice verse 1, Then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David. Of course, David is radioactive, if you will, in Israel at this time because of his relationship with Saul, Saul's attempt to kill him. So Ahimelech is afraid when David comes and said unto him, "Why art thou alone and no man with thee?" And David said unto Ahimelech the priest, "The king hath commanded me a business. And it said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed my servants to such and such a place." Questions, spontaneous questions, unexpected questions, out of the blue questions, are a really good test of our spiritual condition. They tell us in a moment of time whether we're walking in the spirit or in the flesh, whether we're walking in faith or whether we're walking in fear. How we answer those questions that we aren't expecting that come upon us in a moment of time is a real indicator of our condition before the Lord. David was walking in the flesh. He's walking in fear. He says there in verse 2 that he's on the king's business. He's on secret business for the king. But that's not true. He's not on secret business for the king. He's fleeing for his life from the king. He tells another lie in verse 8, if you'll look there. And David said unto Ahimelech, "And is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste." Here he goes back to this same lie that he told in verse 1. The king's business required haste. You can almost sense the nervousness in David. You can almost sense the fear as you read these verses. He could have just asked Ahimelech if there were any weapons there. He didn't really have to say anything else. It would have been obvious to the priest that David was unarmed, that he wasn't carrying any weapons. You see, the flesh has always got to speak. The flesh has always got to explain, especially when we've left the place of faith and we're walking in fear. To me, when I read these verses, the fear in David is almost palpable. And it's like that because he's left the place of faith and he's walking and is living in fear. And we want to notice something in verse 9. We want to notice what fear does in David's life. And the priest said, "The sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it. For there is no other save that here." And David said, "There is none like that. Give it me." Here we come across something that we would really think had been dealt with. And that's the sword of Goliath the Philistine. It's only been about a year since David killed Goliath in the valley of Elah. This great giant of the Philistines had gone down to defeat. His great stature and his great strength and all of his armor and weapons of war had availed nothing. All of those weapons of the flesh couldn't stand before the weapon that David had in his hand. And that weapon was his sling. Now it's most instructive to notice how David acts, what he does when he has left the place of faith for the place of fear. In verse 8, when David asks for a weapon, he doesn't ask for a sling. He asks for a sword. And isn't it interesting that Ahimelech just happens to have the sword of Goliath? The sword of Goliath had been kept, carefully kept. We see in verse 9 that it was wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. There's a tremendous difference between the sling and the sword. The sling has some very interesting characteristics about it. Bible scholars tell us that the sling is among the most ancient instruments of warfare. So one of the characteristics of it is that it's old. It's a very simple weapon. It's made of a couple of strings of sinew or leather or rope. Had a piece of leather in the middle to hold the stone. If you're going to use it, you swung it around a couple of times above your head and then you let go of one of the strings and the rock flew out. The stone, when it was released, could travel as much as a little over a tenth of a mile. Pretty amazing weapon. Pretty effective weapon. Turn back for just a minute to the book of Judges, if you will. Judges chapter 20. Judges chapter 20 and verse 14 is where we want to read. But the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together out of the cities unto Gibeah to go out to battle against the children of Israel. And the children of Benjamin were numbered at that time out of the cities 26,000 men that drew sword beside the inhabitants of Gibeah, which were numbered 700 chosen men. Among all this people, there were 700 chosen men left-handed. Everyone could sling stones at an hairbreadth and not miss. It's the first mention of the sling as a weapon in the Bible. And what we notice here is that the outstanding characteristic of those who use this weapon is that they were left-handed. We were talking this morning about details that the Spirit of God places here in His Word. Details that could be left out without taking away from the sense of what's being said in the passage. So what difference does it make to us in 2010 whether these men were right-handed or left-handed? It makes a lot of difference when you study the Bible the way our pastor taught us to study it. In his book on Bible symbols, Pastor Kelly points out that the left hand is a symbol of submission. It speaks of weakness. So the sling, as we see it here, is a weapon that is associated with submission and weakness. The strength and the power of this weapon was manifested in the weakness of the user. That's the picture. Or to say it another way, the power was not in the one who used the sling. The power was in the sling. That makes the sling an instrument of faith. Now let's think about these characteristics of a sling for just a minute. Because it does have an application to us today in the year 2010. What weapon do we have that is old, dating back, in fact, to eternity past? What weapon do we have that is simple? So simple that the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. What weapon do we have that can only be used in submission and weakness? What weapon do we have that manifests its power in the weakness of the user? What weapon do we have that is the power of God unto salvation? What instrument do we have that is the instrument of faith? Only one. And that instrument is the Word of God. That's important because it gives us a very interesting picture of the sling. The sling is a very unique and a very unusual picture to us of the Word of God. Now, look over at 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And let's read, beginning at verse 47. Of course, it's in this chapter that David goes against Goliath. And in verse 47, he says, "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled." David runs to the battle, not with a sword, with a sling. And he throws this stone and he hits Goliath in the forehead. Goliath's dead when he hits the ground. David went forth with his sling in submission and weakness, and in that state, the power of God was manifested in his life. See, smooth stones, which is what David had, smooth stones don't sink into the forehead of giants. Smooth stones aren't going to pierce much of anything unless the power of God is behind them. Now notice again verse 50. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone. A sling and a stone. Two things. The Word of God written. The Word of God living. The stone. The Lord Jesus Christ. Notice at the end of verse 50 that the Spirit of God makes a special point to tell us that there was no sword. No sword in the hand of David. And it's like that because of what we read in verse 47. The Lord saveth not by sword and spear. He doesn't save by sword and spear. David relied on one thing for victory. And one thing alone. And that was the instrument of faith. The sling. There's only one thing, and one thing alone, that you and I can rely on for victory in the Christian life. And that's the sling. This instrument of faith. The Word of God. As you look at this passage, there are a lot of pictures that you can draw from it. But one of the pictures, one of the things that comes to mind is Goliath. He pictures to us the flesh. The greatest battles that we face as believers are with the flesh. That old nature that rises up. That old nature that looms over us like a giant. And the only victory over the flesh is the instrument of faith. The sling. The Word of God. The only victory over the flesh is the very power of God manifested when we come to this book in faith, in submission, and in weakness. Completely dead to self. We're saved tonight. There's a question we ought to think about. How much time do we spend practicing with this instrument of faith? How much time do we spend practicing with this sling, the Word of God? How much time do we spend reading and studying it on our own? How much time do we spend coming to the services to hear it preached? Do we know this book? Are we so familiar with this sling that we can sling stones from it at an hairbreadth and not miss? The Lord will give us opportunities to do that. The Lord will put us in situations. He'll give us opportunities that require split-second decisions. Split-second wisdom. One of the things that I try to remember to ask the Lord for every day is wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But sometimes what I ask the Lord for is not just wisdom, but instant wisdom. Instant wisdom. To know what to say, but sometimes, and far more importantly, to know what not to say. To know when to speak, to know when to be quiet. I think about so many times the little saying that Pete Sobey gave to me. And I guess there was a message in it. He gave me this little saying. It said, rarely miss an opportunity to keep your mouth shut. If I ever give you that, don't be offended. I'm just trying to remind you of what Pete reminded me of. Instant wisdom. There'll be opportunities every day for where we need that split-second wisdom, hairbreadth wisdom. Opportunities that are going to require exact, precise words. Slung at an hairbreadth from the sling, the Word of God. Words fitly spoken for that very moment. And if we haven't been practicing privately, if we haven't been practicing collectively, we'll miss the opportunity. A few minutes ago, as we were looking at Judges chapter 20, we saw something kind of interesting there, just from a number standpoint. There were only 700 out of that 26,700 that could sling stones at a hairbreadth. It's not very many. It's about 2.5% or so. The other 97.5% couldn't do that. It's like that today. It's a very small number of believers who study this book, a small number of believers who practice with this sling, that are willing to die to self and submit themselves in weakness, that the power of God might be manifested in their lives. But before we go back to 1 Samuel chapter 21, I want us to notice verse 54 here, because it's the tie that's going to take us back to 1 Samuel chapter 21. We read in verse 54, "And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem." But you always ought to think, when you see the word "but," it's a contrast. The Lord is trying to tell us something here, just to perk our ears up. David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor, the armor of Goliath, in his tent. Why? What good had it done Goliath? That armor was powerless against the instrument of faith, the sling. And David had the sling. Why would you trade the sling for the armor, Goliath? Why do you want Goliath's armor? Well, we think, well, he wanted a souvenir from the battle. We're like that. But if Goliath is a picture of the flesh, then what David is doing is sparing something of the flesh. He's sparing something of the flesh. And what was spared of the flesh was well taken care of. It's wrapped very carefully. Very carefully. Put in a special place. Ends up in Nob behind the ephod there with the priest. In the midst of this great victory, David is making provision for the flesh. I would suggest to you that he is sowing the seeds of fear. He's had a great victory of faith. But in the midst of that victory of faith, he is sowing the seeds of fear. We do that. Sometimes it's in the moments of greatest victory that we make the greatest mistakes. Verse 54 just seems harmless as we read it. It's part of the account of this great victory. It's very easy to read it and look over it. And it seems harmless until we come to chapter 21. Let's go back there. Seems harmless till we come to chapter 21. And we hear David say in verse 8, "And David said unto Ahimelech, And is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. And the priest said, The sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod." It's been taken special care of. You know, we have those little things of the flesh that we like to wrap up. And it's just a sword, just one thing. We like to wrap it up in a cloth behind the ephod, if you will, in our heart. And take it out, unwrap it every now and again, look at it. enjoy it. It's here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save that here. And David said, there is none like that. Give it me. There's none like that. Give it me. This is the same man who said, the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. Same man said that just a couple chapters back. This is the man who knew from his own experience that the Lord saves by the instrument of faith. He saves by the sling. He saves and keeps and delivers through His Word. And yet listen to what David says about the sword of Goliath at the end of verse 9. And David said, there is none like that. Give it me. David has left his sling. He's left his sling. He's left the place of faith. And I want you to notice the word that appears immediately after David takes these carnal weapons. Verse 10. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. He hasn't given us carnal weapons. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. God hasn't given us the sword and the spear of the flesh. He's given us a mighty weapon. He's given us this instrument of faith, this sling, the Word of God. And the difference between the sling and the sword is the difference between faith and fear. One of the ways that we can tell whether we're walking in faith or whether we're walking in fear is the weapon that we have with us. David says, I've neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me. Didn't have his sling. Didn't have his sling with him. When we're walking in faith, our weapon is the sling of the Word of God. When we're walking in fear, our weapon is the sword and the spear of the flesh. That's the background to this 56th Psalm. Let's turn back there. And we're not going to have time tonight to talk about it. Where fear meets faith. It's in these circumstances. But notice the fear in these first two verses. Be merciful unto me, O God. For man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. David finds himself down in Gath. And if you read, we won't turn back there again, but if you read there in 1 Samuel chapter 21, the tone of the fellows there in Gath is, we need to get rid of this man. We need to kill him. That's the tone that they've got. This is the man that killed Goliath. This is the man that the people were singing in Israel. Saul has killed his thousands. David is 10,000s. And we've got him. Here he is. They took him. David's in the place of fear. Because he left the place of faith. He left the sling. He took up the sword of the flesh. What weapon are we carrying tonight? That's what I want us to think about. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. He's given us this sling. So interesting. David ran to meet Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17. He runs away in fear from Saul in chapter 21. And I think the difference is the weapon. What weapon are we carrying tonight? The sling or the sword of the flesh? What weapon are we depending on? Give us an indication as we think about it, whether we're walking in faith or whether we're walking in fear. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you tonight for that little verse that you haven't given us the spirit of fear. You've given us a mighty weapon. You've given us this weapon that is old, this weapon that is simple, this weapon that is so effective, and the user uses it in submission and weakness. You've given us this weapon of your word, this sling of your word. And Father, help us to never put that sling down. Help us to never pick up the little sword of the flesh that we might have wrapped up there in the corner of our heart somewhere tonight and try to depend on that. The end of that is fear. The end of that is timidness. The end of that is cowardice. The end of that is to find ourselves in the camp of the enemy. We pray tonight that we would just keep and hold on to the simple sling of your word, that we might stand in this evil day. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.